Intervju Radija Študent.
Demon pred nastopom v pritličju. Pred sobotnim dogodkom v pritličju smo se po telefonu pogovarjali z ameriškim vokalistom in reperjem Demonom. Jesiri Asabi Shakir, ki si je nadel ime Demon, je lani novembra pri založbi China Amobia Intelligent Models izdal ploščo AIOES, oziroma Artificial Emotional Operating System. Pogovorili smo se o njegovih začetkih v praksi spoken worda, o številnih selitvah, ki jih je preživel, ter povezanih raznolikih kulturnih in glasbenih vplivih na njegovo delo. O tem, kako je prišlo do izdaje pri novi založbi China Amobia in še o čem. Prisluhnimo.
Can you tell me about like how you got into producing music, singing, rapping?
I basically my dad was a rapper, and then just my whole family is very musical and artistically inclined, so I always had a sort of incubator at my house when I was like, you know, basically since preschool till about 7 or 8, I was homeschooled. And so I just had a really inspiring environment. I was surrounded by people who were creating things, and so it just definitely kind of put me on that path. But I didn't really start rapping or actually writing poetry and taking it seriously, where to the point where I was like performing spoken word and stuff, until I was about maybe 10th grade or 11th grade. And once I started doing poetry, that actually started kind of popping off for me, and took me to London and Paris, and that got me really excited just about the other cultures musically and sonically over here in general. And then, yeah, after that point, I pretty much actually started kind of veering onto the path that I'm on now, which is more of a kind of club-inspired vocals, and just taking a bunch of references from global genres and soundscapes and stuff like that, and trying to blend them all together. So, yeah, I would say, you know, I've been inspired dabbling in it for pretty much my whole life, but where I started actually making serious steps towards creating stuff that I'm creating now was probably about 2009, 2010.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, because at least on SoundCloud, when you search for your artist output, you only find songs from, I think, 2017. So what were you doing in that period between 2009 and a few years back?
So I basically was doing a lot of spoken word. I was working for this small nonprofit. It was a small nonprofit called Youth Speaks, and they actually put on the world's biggest international youth poetry festival. And so I was interning with them and helping set up those events. And essentially that gave me a platform, because I had been writing a lot of poetry and stuff, and then I finally had a place to express it. And at the big poetry festival, that's like an annual event, it's called Brave New Voices. They have something called MC Olympics, and that's basically for all the rappers there who are at the poetry festival. Essentially, they have the opportunity to perform their hip hop or more musical acts and stuff like that, and compete basically essentially off of the certain pillars of hip hop skill sets. So like freestyling, stage presence, and performance, all that stuff. So once I had the opportunity to do that, I mean, it was a pretty big stage, about 3,000 people or so. And I went to this festival in 2010, 2011, so that's when I kind of really started doing it. But I remember freestyling in front of 3,000 people or something like that in this giant auditorium in UC Berkeley, in California, and that really kind of set the tone for the way that I'm moving now. Just gave me the inspiration to like want to be able to achieve that outreach again. It gave me a lot of inspiration from the feedback that I was getting. I believe I placed like third or something, so it just kind of motivated me and then helped me realize that like this is something that I kind of had a knack for and I wanted to pursue. And up until about 2011, basically after that festival, I moved to Atlanta. I started going to college there for a year. And then I basically dropped out, I was done with it. And I had already, you know, like I said, I had went to London and Paris touring with the spoken word, so that just kind of gave me that itch to keep creating more stuff in that same vein. So yeah, I moved to LA after that point, and then from about 2011, 12 to 2014, I was really producing a lot of club stuff that pretty much never came out. And that was because of one of my co-collaborators was outed as a not so good person. So I basically essentially started making more stuff with my other co-collaborator. And we started getting to the point where we kind of are now, where we just have amassed about 100 or so plus songs. And we're just trying to find which ones to develop and still creating new stuff and trying to find outlets to put it all. But yeah, it was a big period of incubation. I'm a really big perfectionist, so I've spent a lot of time kind of honing in on exactly what I want to do and kind of show it locally or play shows and stuff like that. But I wasn't really trying to push any press or major outreach until I found kind of settled into myself. So that's where I'm feeling at now, and I feel a lot of opportunities coming along. So I'm really excited for the future, what I can do with it. Yeah.
So you mentioned your collaborator. I think you're referring to JC.
Yes.
And I'd like to go there a bit further, but I wanted to ask you first that you come from Oakland, if I know correctly. But which city do you call your home in the moment? And do you think that the previous cities that you lived shaped you also as an artist in terms of genres or music scenes?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, by moving to LA, that kind of opened up my mind to club stuff in general, because I being from Oakland, the Bay Area doesn't have much actual kind of underground club stuff. Like the only club related events we might have are like some kind of like purist techno or house events, at least at this specific time. That I was growing up. So now I live back in Oakland, but I spend a lot of time in LA. I spend a lot of time in London as well. And I mean, when I was maybe like 18, 19, just barely in LA, and I think I went to the first kind of club night of like a mixed genre type event. It was a lot of trance and stuff there. It was still kind of focus in like one general realm of club shit, but it was something that like kind of opened my mind, because I saw a lot of people that didn't look that different from me actually participating and enjoying it, and that's something that I hadn't really seen before. And so that really opened my mind to music culture and like the subgenres of music culture and who might be interested in those and what archetype of people those people might be and how they might relate to me. And I think something that was super empowering was realizing that, you know, club music was brought about by people of color. And that's something that I just didn't know. It doesn't appear that way just innately based on the current state of club music, at least in my interpretation and understanding of it. So that definitely served as like something that was really empowering for me, just to see like, oh wow, these are like gangsters from South Central LA, but they're like shuffling right now to this trance music. Like that opened my mind a lot. And then yeah, from there I just started kind of finding out more and more. I remember that one of the big discoveries for me that was really shifted my general direction was discovering baile funk music from Brazil and hearing this kind of like really intense sound design juxtaposed with really striking the lyrics and intonations and vocals and stuff like that, as well as like just the overall story and archetype of the demographic that this music was coming from, was something I identified with. And that's when I actually made probably one of the tracks you're referring to that's on my SoundCloud from about 2007, which is Sirens, which I actually just dropped a video to. So, but that was one of the first tracks. I made that song, I want to say almost 2016 or 2017. It was actually done quite a while before it was released. And it was just something that I got inspired by from the Bylife Funk music I was listening to. I essentially like really liked some of the flows and the deliveries that I was hearing. And so I was trying to interpret that and like kind of reproduce that in my own way. And yeah, that was a really big moment for me, just in terms of like realizing the breadth of music, and then also the almost like the familiarity. Like, I think that we focus so much on the differences between things, but you know, when it musically, almost everything is related. Like, it's hard to think of a genre that's can stand alone as, you know, this is a completely isolated from everything else. I think that it's all part of one story. And so, yeah, just exploring the different manifestations of the narrative. So, yeah, it's been huge for me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even now with your long form album, to say the artificial emotional operating system, it's really nicely bizarre how it weaves all this very complex, I'd say, deliveries and spoken word poetry with music that isn't necessarily like logical. Like, you can get a bit of jazz and then you get almost hardcore in some songs. And I was wondering, how did you start on this album? How is it your process of working with Jason?
So Jace, at the time, he was still in school and he was working really hard on like finishing up his fashion degree. And I was getting really anxious about releasing music. We had gotten to a kind of standstill just based on the fact that, you know, a lot of the music that I was creating had been with a third co-conspirator who essentially was outed as like a sexual assaulter, violator. And so I completely, like Jace and myself, completely cut ties to him. But that also meant that all of the music that we had been working on for about 3 years could not come out. And with that person involved, there was a lot more bandwidth to work on things because they didn't have any other kind of commitments to be worried about, except Jace had school full time and I was working full time, and I was just feeling like I have all these ideas that I want to execute. I have all these songs that are basically can't come out. I want to start fresh and make something that I just truly identify with. And so it was kind of a redefining of myself as an artist. And because Jace didn't have the time to really conceptually develop a project, I took it upon myself to develop anything. And I essentially came up with this concept about emotional intelligence. And it's something that's been a big theme in my life, just because my parents are very spiritually inclined. And so, I feel like I've always kind of had an understanding of emotional intelligence and its importance in like my life and everything. And I wanted to talk about how the things I see around me and the changes that are happening in our world are kind of like affecting that, but I didn't want to do it in a way that was too explanatory. I just wanted to basically open up a discussion around it. I just wanted to provoke thought around it. I didn't want to be too opinionated. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I came to the conclusion of the concept. I was just like talking about the manifestations of the technology that we engage with and its effect on our behavior patterns, our thought processes, what we perceive of ourselves, what we perceive of each other, how we essentially are cyborgs, you know, essentially androids, without really even ever acknowledging that or like kind of having a innate discomfort in acknowledging that. Yeah, so I did a lot of, like, throughout the album, I did a lot of objectifying myself as object on the shelf or as, you know, a shiny stone or something of that nature. Talking about our dependency on our tools and how they, in a sense, objectify us through using these part of us, an extension of us. Then we essentially become the tool and the tool becomes us. So yeah, just talking about that type of thing, that those type of concepts and really big ideas, but in a way that's not too abrasive or overwhelming. I wanted it to sound familiar. I wanted it to sound accessible to a certain degree, but I didn't want to dumb down or kind of censor myself in terms of like the ideas I wanted to talk about. And so, yeah. I mean, it kind of really developed naturally. And once I established that and explained it to Jace, then he was able to really build a lot of these soundscapes around those ideas and around those topics thematically and just overall, like the rhythmic delivery, the intonation of my voice and everything was all super well curated around my particular approach. So that's why I think that worked out so well, because a lot of these songs, one came out of these intense emotions of re-identifying, realigning myself as an artist. And then also the kind of heartbreak of like finding out that your friend is a dickhead. And so, you know, we're producing these songs out of in these intense emotional places that kind of led up to this super introspective and really emotionally freeing like project, basically, that just kind of talked about all of the things that I had on my mind and framed it within this way that was not too specific to my situation, but more about, you know, how we deal with situations, like how my reacting this certain way was because I've seen other people react this certain way through my media exposure, or you know, someone else is reenacting some exposure to some piece of media that they've seen, kind of interplay between humanity and technology and how they kind of affect each other and feed off each other.
Seems that this artificial emotion system can lead you into a good place, as you were saying, to process all these emotions that you had. But what do you think about the negative consequences of technology pervading our daily lives? For example, like, it really struck me, the song Face Value. I just saw today on the news that San Francisco is banning face recognition technology.
Wow.
And so it couldn't be used in profiling certain groups and not others. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, how do you see that for yourself?
Definitely. And so, like, what I was going for with the album essentially was to not come off as opinionated, because I feel like my personal opinion is not the most important part about this concept, or it closes off some opportunities to like build conversations about these topics. I want to be kind of like a mediator in a sense, and just kind of keeping these ideas fresh in people's minds, but I don't want to ever tell anyone how to be or what to do. But I definitely feel like it's a double-edged sword, right? Everything new that comes about essentially has multiple sides to it. I like to highlight both positive and negative sides without necessarily siding with either. because I feel like that's the most truest representation of my reality, right? So, I mean, there's a vast amount of negative impacts that technology has had and will have. And there's also a vast amount of positive things, and it's kind of a race between, I guess, the people wielding this information to make the right decisions to maintain the balance or tip it towards the positive side, I guess, because at the end of the day, I think that it's going to come down to the mortality of humanity. Like, when we realize that it's on a broad scale, if we keep doing this type of behavior, whether that's based on the environment, based on our own personal exposure to radiation, the various ways that we poison ourselves and the planet, I want to bring awareness about it. That's my goal, is to bring awareness about it, because I think that there's definitely ramifications that I'm scared of. There's definitely ramifications that I'm excited about. And I don't really stand in any particular place in terms of an opinion on it, but I know that there's certain things that can come about that can change everything for the better immediately, and it's vice versa. So I'm not really, I don't know. I don't like to be too opinionated, because I feel like there's always information that you don't know. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'd rather just stand, kind of observe and like make note of the things that I feel are important. And I think that's essentially what I did on this project, was just kind of talk about ideas that kind of bother me or keep me up at night, or kind of are nagging thoughts that I'm really curious about or interested in, and trying to bring those to people's attention.
Well, I might be overreaching, but do you think that this very conscious, let's say, ethical outlook also brought you to that this album is hosted on the label Intelligent Models, which is run by Chino Amobi. I think he's most known for the non-worldwide label. Did he reach out to you because he got to know you and your philosophy, or was it the other way around?
It was actually, he was making this label, and I reached out to him because he was making a post saying, you know, he was accepting demos, and he wanted to basically release a couple projects through his label, and he was trying to see, he's kind of just putting his feelers out there and seeing what people would respond with. And so, he just was really excited about some of the work that I sent him, but the majority of that was not the album content. We made most of that after we had gotten in contact with him. And then we kind of aligned, and we had a conversation on the phone, and we started to discuss more about the concept that I was developing, and then that kind of further developed into something more and more of a like actual bond based on our personalities and like-mindedness. But before, it was just essentially based off that musically, but he had a strong connection to the music, I think, because of our like-mindedness, you know what I'm saying? Because I think that my personality and intent and all that stuff comes across in your music, not just for me, but from everyone, rather, usually, whether they realize it or not, and a lot of the times, and not in the ways that you perceive them, or the ways that you would assume. And it was something that just kind of came about just based on the internet. And yeah, I think that the internet has been a huge part of connecting me with the vital people that I've been connecting with. So
yeah, I think I saw you all over the place, if I say so. Like, you did some mixes for NTS Radio, so London based or no, Los Angeles, right? For,
well, yeah, they have two radio stations, one in London, one in LA, I believe.
Yeah, and then I saw you also on Lot Radio, and the biggest surprise was in the Purple Tape Pedigree label just issued a photo documentary book, Silent Weapons.
Yes.
And you're included. So what's for you next, or where do you see yourself going?
So I've got a remix project that I'm really excited about. I'm about to play that out tonight at Trade Berlin. But yes, featuring some really, really big names. Disfig, Wolflu, Gaultier, Tomas Arquieta, lots of really influential people and producers to me, and actually have done about 7 of the 10 tracks got remixed, so that's coming out very soon. I believe that's gonna be on Infinite Machine as well, so yeah, we're just making sure that's all coming out and going through the motions with that. That should be within a couple weeks, very soon. And then after that, I have a project with Endgame coming out, and that we're still working out, figuring out how to drop as well. And yeah, I just have a bunch of singles essentially for the next year or two. And then I'll be coming back from a more conceptual angle with Jace. We're working on a follow-up project. So that'll probably be in about a year or two when we start dropping singles and kind of pushing that forward.
Well, I cannot wait for anything that you just mentioned. But before that, we'll see you on Saturday in Prytlice. What do you have planned? I'm guessing that Jace isn't joining you on this tour, or is he?
No, he's not joining me. So I'm just going to be doing, for tonight, I'm going to be doing a DJ set and performing some unreleased tracks, just kind of live ad-libbing and stuff like that, playing some demos out, as well as dropping a lot of the remixes and just some club tracks that I've been enjoying. And for the live sets, I'm planning on using CDJs and then just running my vocals through CDJs and essentially DJing for myself. And that might mean having my back facing the audience and then kind of performing out certain tracks or just coming around the CDJs. It depends on how I end up setting up and how it affects the other acts. But yeah, we'll see. Definitely going to be a lot of vocal processing for these sets. I'm going to do a lot of manipulation to my voice live with CDJs, which I've been having a lot of fun with. So yeah.
Okay, that sounds cool. Well, the time ran out, our 30 minutes. Thank you really for the interview and really for looking forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Yes, absolutely. Likewise. Yeah, appreciate your time.
Niggas must ain't realize I got that wall, I got that wall, I got that oops, I got that, I keep that, I keep that wall, I keep that oops, I keep that, I got that wall, I got that wall, I keep that oops, I keep that, I got that wall, I got that wall, I keep that oops, I keep that, I got that wall, I got that down, I got that wall, girl, I can see him. Goddamn boy, do your thing. I got that sign here, let me explain. I got that wet, I got that down. Ooh, that's my baby. Ooh, yes, I am. I got that, I got that, I got that, ooh-wee, I got that, I got that wet, I got that down. I got that, girl, look at him. I got that, goddamn boy, do your thing. I got that sign here, let me explain. I got that wet, I got that down. Ooh, that's my baby. Ooh, yes, I am. I got that,
I got that, ooh wee, I got that, I got that wall, I got that wall, I got that oops, I got that, I keep that wall, I keep that oops, I keep that, I got that wall, I got that wall, I keep that oops, I keep that, I got that wall, I got that wall, I keep that oops, I keep that.
Današnji Eriš intervju z Demonom je pripravila Špela Cvetko, našega tokratnega gosta pa lahko slišite že to soboto v živo v ljubljanskem Pritličju.
Intervju Radija Študent.